mind that whole scripture from Matthew about turning the other cheek and loving your neighbor, a real challenge. How often have you wanted when someone's hurt you, whether it's physically or with cruel words, wanted to strike back in some way? And how often have you? Oh, I know I can put my hand up and say it's been a few times for both. I'm not asking anyone to actually do it themselves here. That's a little bit too much exposure. That's fine. But yeah, that's our temptation. Whether it's as an individual or as a community or perhaps as a country. Can't let certain insults or harms stand. There must be a response. And yet, here we have Jesus pretty plainly saying, love your enemy. It's easy to love your neighbor. It's easy to love your family. Well, sometimes it's easy to love your family. Careful on that one. But those who love you, loving them back is an easy thing to do. Loving your enemy, that takes work. That's what Jesus is saying. Anybody can do that. If you're going to follow me, you need to work hard. Then he goes on and says, to be perfect, like God is perfect. Now that just seems impossible, doesn't it? Perfect? Do you think you'd be perfect? I'm pretty sure I know where I stand on that in terms of me. But, perfection is not something I see for myself anytime soon. But here's an interesting thing. When you actually look at translations, because the Bible, Scripture, they weren't written in English originally. They weren't written in French, they weren't written in German, they weren't even written in Latin initially. It was written in Greek, a particular dialect of Greek, going back 2,000 years, which they had to work on and come up with what we have now. And there's this particular word in Greek that gets used there. And I'm not going to give you the whole word, but the root of it is telos. And that was translated into pretty much all our Bibles as perfect. But scholars would say, well, that's not quite right. What they're actually saying with the word telos is we can't use it. You can't just put it into one word. That's the tough part. It has to do with fulfilling your purpose. When Jesus talks there, and then we translate it as perfect, it's to fulfill your purpose, to be who you were meant to be. That's what he's talking about there. Fulfilling who you are meant to be. Which I find really intriguing when we take a look at what we've been discussing the last couple of weeks in the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus looks at his followers and says, you're the salt of the earth. Don't lose your flavor. You are a light on a hill. You are the light of the world. Don't hide that light under a basket. Then he goes on to say, to fulfill your purpose, to fulfill who God meant you to be. Well, that becomes a whole lot different than trying to achieve perfection, doesn't it? And the other thing is, Jesus isn't just talking about us as individuals. Each of us needs to fulfill that. He's talking about us as a whole community. Which is similar to what Paul then that letter to the Corinthians, when he talks about being a temple and the big foundation set as Jesus. He's writing that letter to a church in the city of Corinth. He's looking at that whole church, that community of believers, people who've gathered to worship God and figure out where they're going. He's saying, you are a temple built on Jesus the Christ. And it will be built upon and built upon by those who come. And so when Jesus said, you are to be special and to bring about world that God wants, how are you going to be in that world? How are you going to relate to the people around you? It's not just so that you can be that perfect or that fulfilled person. It's so that all of us as a community can live out and fulfill this vision that God has for the world. What does God want for God's world? Well, again, if you go back a little couple of weeks in this sermon, Jesus talks of a world in which the poor are blessed, those who mourn are blessed, those who seek peace try to find and make peace in the world. Those are the ones who are blessed. Those who are persecuted, all of those are included in God's vision for the world. Those who are poor, those who are in distress, those who are persecuted. God's world, the world that God envisions for all of us, includes all of us. And we are all beloved as we are, and all have a role to play in fulfilling God's vision. And how does Jesus say we do that? By going beyond how we're already told to do. We live in a world in which common wisdom has established these things. Well, if someone hurts you, well, maybe as a person we should turn to their cheek, but as a country, as an institution, can't let that stand. Love your enemy. Well, maybe as a person, an individual, you're called upon to love your enemy. But as a community, does that become more of a challenge? If we're called upon to carry someone else's load for a little while, go further. That's an interesting one. That's a little more history. In the Israel Mediterranean in Jesus' time, there was pretty much a law that was established by the Romans who occupied that country at the time. It said, if a Roman soldier comes to you and says, I want you to carry my armor, all my equipment, you are obliged to carry it for 1 mile. Carry it for 1 mile. So when Jesus says, go 2, he's talking about people who know that if at any time an occupying soldier, someone from somewhere else who's occupying and oppressing their people, tells them, take my armor, carry it with me for the next mile. Jesus said, go an extra mile for your oppressor. Don't just do what the world expects you to do. Go a little bit further. Do a little bit more. Someone wants your coat, give them their cloak as well. expectations on you, doesn't it? It seems like an awful lot to blow, to put on your shoulders. But again, if I turn back to what Paul writes, you are a temple built on the